All right, I just realized we were muted all that time for anybody on Zoom. Sorry about that. Okay, let's continue our study here. We are talking about really going over some of the core attributes of God, getting to know God better. And as we looked at weeks ago, folks, this is how we grow. How we perceive God affects our day-to-day life, every day. How we live, the decisions we make, how we view ourselves depends on how we view God. Today, the topic is going to be the eternality of God. God is eternal. And that's an interesting concept to talk about as an attribute, as a characteristic, a trait of God. God is without beginning or end. He exists outside of time. And even that very thought is really hard to comprehend, because we are creatures of time. We don't know, how does that work? How can you be outside of time? How does that even compute, right? Our minds just can't comprehend it. Here's what Mr. Tozer writes. Time marks the beginning of created existence, and because God never began to exist, it can have no application to Him. For our finite, temporal human mind, that's really boggles our minds, right? It's beyond our comprehension. We're bound by time. Everything we do, we carry our phones, we're constantly looking at the time. Or, you know, does anyone still wear a wristwatch? Anybody? A few people. I do occasionally. But, you know, we're constantly looking at time. I mean, my wife just the other day said, we need a clock in this room, we need a clock in that room, because, you know, she needs to be checking the time on things and likes to have access to looking at it. And we are so bound by time, everything we do. We have somewhat of a concept of never ending when we look at the sky, right? And maybe this will help. Maybe this kind of analogy will help. When we look up at the sky, we kind of understand there's just no end to that. We can kind of comprehend there's just no end to that. And then if you see a jet fly across the open sky, you see there's a beginning and there's an end to that jet stream. There's a starting place, there's an ending place. And, you know, that's like time is stuck right in eternity there. There's a beginning to it, there's an end to it. But it just goes on in both directions, really, forever. So this is an attribute of our great God, of the whole Godhead, God the Father. We can look at verses here. People like to try to, you know, there are cults out there that would deny the fact that Jesus is God, that Jesus is equal to God. In fact, just this week, I was picking up Jen from one of her appointments, and then she wanted to stop by a store. So we drove to a store, and I sat in the van, which is what I often do. And I was reading the Bible on my phone, and these two men in white shirts, two young men in white shirts, walked by, or were walking by, approaching. And I was thinking, oh boy, you know, I wonder if they'll come over to talk to me. And they did. You know, that was a blessing. I got to sit there for about half an hour and talk to two Mormons. And we had a really good conversation. They, along with Jehovah's Witnesses and probably numerous others, would deny the fact that Jesus is fully God, that He is eternal, that He is everything that God the Father is. And John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there at creation. He existed before creation. He Himself was not created. He is God, and He is every bit eternal as the Father. In Revelation 1, you have Him speaking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And then later on in the very end of Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, talking about His eternality. God the Son is eternal, just like God the Father, God the Holy Spirit as well. This verse in Hebrews 9 talks about the eternal Spirit. We have all three. All right, let's get into it a little bit deeper here. The eternality of God. God has no beginning and no end. There never was a time when God didn't exist. That's just, we can't comprehend that. Well, when did God begin? And as a kid, I remember, maybe you did too, as a kid, when you start to learn some of these concepts, as a kid, I'd be thinking, okay, well then, who created God? Right? Well, when did God start? Well, somebody had to start this thing going. That's just how our minds are. And just because we're adults doesn't mean we got it figured out any better, right? How about Psalm 90, verse 2? Psalm of Moses. He says, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And Isaiah 40, 28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. All kinds of attributes together there in that verse. But talking here about the everlasting God, his eternal characteristic. So what does this tell us about God? Just to stop and think about it, the fact that God is eternal, let's bring it down to the practical side. What does that mean for us? How does that affect us? What should we conclude about God? What conclusions can we draw when we think about the fact that God has existed from all eternity past? What should that do to you or cause you to think? How should you respond? Okay, you can depend on God. He's not going anywhere, right? Good, good one. What else? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What is man that thou art mindful of him, he says in the Psalms, right? It helps us to put things in perspective, right? We are very small, and our time here is very short, isn't it? God, folks, just stop and think about that. Somebody said it this way. Your life, all you get is a little bitty dash between two dates on a tombstone, right? That's what you get. Is just one little bitty dash of time. God's been taking care of things ever before the world began. He's been in control ever before man was created, right? And that tells me, and a lesson I learned from that is, we really need to trust God better. He knows what he's doing. Do you tend, especially the way our current culture is, our society, you know, it's depressing to read the news, isn't it? Does it tend to get you a little worked up, a little anxious? Does it tend to make you start thinking, boy, we need to pack up and move? Folks, God is in control. And he's seen nations come and go in upheavals and government and corrupt government, good government. We need to just trust God. Keep serving, keep trusting. What else? Anything else? Any other application? What does this tell us about God? The fact that he is eternal. He knows a lot of things that we'll never understand, right? He's been around. He knows it all. He made it all. All right. Let's go on to number two. God is unaffected by time. God is unaffected by time. Listen to Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. I love that passage. I've tried to memorize that passage. That's a great one. Just reminders. God is in control. God will and is accomplishing. He will accomplish his purpose, his plan. Do you believe that God is accomplishing his purpose in Canada right now? Do you believe that? May not seem like it. But that's because we think we know better, right? Are we willing, are we able to trust God? God is in control. And he's known the end from the beginning, from ancient times. God's not surprised. You know, I put that statement on the screen last week. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? God never just had an aha moment, right? Oh, wait a minute. I didn't think about that. That never happens with God. Well, in the same way, nothing takes God by surprise.
Nothing that's happening in the news, in the world, nothing that's happening in government, ours or anyone else's, nothing. Nothing of that, none of that is taking God by surprise. God's not shocked. God's not caught off guard. God's not wringing His hands. God's not anxious. Do you think God ever worries? You think God's ever a little bit anxious? Well, you know, I hope this works out. Never. And that's just hard for a human mind to comprehend. We make plans all the time. Every day. Well, I hope it doesn't rain. I hope it does rain. I hope this works out. I hope so-and-so comes today. I hope we get there safely. That's never how God operates. Ever. God knows exactly what He's doing, and He will accomplish His purpose. 100%, folks. Isn't that a stabilizing truth? Isn't that a helpful thought? Isaiah 46, 9-10, great verses to know. Just quote from Mr. Tozer. He said, "For Him, everything that will happen has already happened. That is why God can say, 'I am God, and there is none like me,' declaring the end from the beginning." He sees the end and the beginning in one view. Psalm 102, the psalmist writes, "Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." Our lives are all about change, are they not? How long does a baby stay a baby? It's no time at all. I mean, they go through clothes like sometimes they get just a few wears and they've already outgrown certain items, right? And then, you know, as they're a kid, they're wearing them out for other reasons. They got all these holes appearing all the time and they just wear through clothes. And our whole lives are changed from the time we're conceived to the time we take our final breath. I mean, our lives are just all about change. Our bodies are constantly changing. And that's reality to us. God isn't like that. God doesn't change. He's consistent. He's faithful. We age. What are some other ways that this whole concept of time, how does it affect us in ways that it does not affect God? Just throw out some areas of light, how time affects humans. We age. We slow down. Okay, good. Keep going. There's quite a few here. What else? Oh, you know, they just don't work the same. Like, there are things I can't do as well now that I used to be able to do, and I don't think I'm very old. I mean, my kids think I am, but I don't think so. And you're probably the same. Things don't work as well. What else? Yeah, okay. We don't know the future. All we get is today. What about this? We get tired. Time goes by. We get tired. God never does. You find this, how time affects us, is we're so tied to schedules. We're always rushing to this, rushing to that. We've got to make it to work. We've got to get here. Time rules everything we do, right? And it seems like we're often waiting. Then we have to get somewhere, and then we got to wait for someone else, or we got to wait for this to happen before we can do that, and we're constantly waiting. The delays, growing, learning, all of those things take time. You can't grow any faster, right? Kids just look forward to more and more birthdays, and there's a certain age where that stops, and then it begins to reverse. And then there's learning. That takes time. You wish you could just download it, like you stick a drive in your computer, and boom, you got your program. I wish we could just learn, but it takes time. Everything takes time. We're so affected by time. God, I had a list on these. Look at that. God, I'm getting old, right? I didn't even put these up. Okay, I'll just go through these. God is not affected by time. Everything on this list that we just talked about, our lives revolve around days, weeks, years, events. That's how we think. And God is just not affected by time. here's the reality. 2 Peter 3:8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years, like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So the eternality of God, God works on a different timetable. Kind of that's the idea of that last verse putting up there in 2 Peter 3. We need to remember our job is not to save people. It's to share the gospel. God, in His own time, works in their lives, and some do get saved. But He does that in His time, and His timing, I should say, is not our timing. All right, third and finally here, God created man to live forever, though. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for introducing yourselves. I was planning to do it the next hour, but that's great. So you did it for me. God is unaffected by time, hard for us to comprehend. God, though, did create man to live forever. And we also struggle to comprehend that. What does forever look like? How long does that last? Well, yeah, but then, and here's, again, as a young person, I would think through that concept. And what would happen in my mind is I'd be thinking, okay, but what happens when we get to the end of that, right? What happens when heaven is over? What's the next thing? That's just, my mind struggled so much to comprehend these concepts, and you have to just end up just stopping because we can't, ultimately. When is forever? When does it end? Yeah, it doesn't. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Listen to this. This is a really interesting passage. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. Now, notice this phrase I'm highlighting. He has set eternity in their heart. If you're reading from the King James, it has the word world there. This Hebrew word that's used, it really does mean eternity. In fact, it occurs over 400 times in the Old Testament, and only 3 times do they translate it with the word world. And every one of those 3 times, they could have translated it with some word that has a time reference, and it would have worked equally well. And so most people agree that it should be eternity here as well, not the word world. It is the word eternity. He has also set eternity in their heart. Okay, so let's talk about that for just a moment. This is really important. This has good application to our lives here and now. When you read that everybody, God has created people with eternity in their heart, what does that mean then? How do we use that in our lives? How does that work out? Okay, good. In case you didn't hear, she said everyone has a built-in conscious awareness. You said of God in eternity. And you use both of those words. And I think both are appropriate. Do you believe? Anyone else have anything to comment before I go further? Okay. Even from childhood, we kind of think that. Okay. Anybody else? There are definitely some really good applications in knowing this. Yes. So true. Okay, we'll come back to that in a moment. Somebody here? Good. So in case you didn't hear, she brought in the idea of purpose, that with eternity, it kind of comes with a built-in, there's a purpose here. I totally agree. Good. Anybody else? Bring it, kind of just, I'm trying to guide you to bring it home. Like, how can you use this then? How does this play out in your day-to-day life, talking to people? Good. So I think you're getting at, when you're talking to somebody, let's say you're sharing the gospel, you can bring this down to bear on their soul, on their mind. You can say you are going to spend eternity somewhere. What can they say in return to that? There are some out there who will say what? Yep, there are some out there who will say, nope, when you die, that's it. Or they'll deny it. They'll say, well, I don't believe in that stuff. In fact, I was talking to one young man It was sometime, it was earlier this year, and just tried to share a little bit of the gospel with someone I met. And initially he said this to me, "Well, I don't really believe in that stuff." And you know what? When I hear somebody say that, it's like I'm not trying to be rude, but it's like I just ignore that statement because it's not true. If they say, "I don't believe in eternity, I don't believe in the afterlife, I don't believe there's a life after this one," I just ignore that because I know it's not true. Everybody believes that. Everybody is scared about what happens when they die. The truth is, some don't want to think about it. Some don't want to admit it or talk about it. And I've had people tell me that right to my face. I've asked people this, "So do you ever think much about what happens when you die?" And I had somebody, I just remember so vividly, just so honestly, said, "I try not to think about it." And I, you know, that's a great lead-in. That's a great thing to hear them say, because then you can say, well, it's going to happen whether you think about it or not, right? Well, yeah. You know, someone who says, "Well, I don't believe that," you have Scripture on your side here. Not that you have to explain it to them, but I know from the Bible that God made everybody with an awareness that they're going to spend eternity somewhere. God put it in their heart. I have Scripture for that. So I know they know that, even though they might try to suppress it. And they might have been taught by someone else who's trying to suppress it. You know, they try to, but they can't get away from that fact. I've shared a few thoughts about my thoughts on Richard Dawkins, right? The man who's best known for his book, The God Delusion. And he claims to be atheist, and I've read other things like maybe agnostic, but he claims to be atheist if you look it up on Wikipedia. And he actually paid to have all these, or no, it wasn't him, was it? It was, I think it was him. He paid to have these billboards up. Yeah, that's right, it was him. That said, "God probably doesn't exist, so don't worry." Right? Something like that. Remember those billboards I put up there before? Here's a man who believes God doesn't exist, believes there is no afterlife and there is no judgment. That, by the way, that's why people want to say, "God, there is no God," right? Because if you take away God, you remove judgment. That's what they don't want. And here's a guy who claims he doesn't believe there is no God. What does he spend his life doing, folks? Thinking about God. He spends his entire life arguing, talking about God, and writing books about God. Do you know anybody who does that about the Easter Bunny? Do you know anybody who does that about the existence and reality of Santa Claus? You wouldn't do that. That's nonsense. But he spends his whole life trying to deny this fact just to salve his own conscience. Because he knows in his heart he's going to spend eternity somewhere. His problem is not that he doesn't believe in God. The problem is he hates God. That's the truth. Yeah. I know, I wondered that too. He's just leaving, trying to be, I guess, a good little scientist and, you know, leave the tiniest sliver of doubt there, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, you see, he put those billboards. God probably doesn't exist. I can't remember how the rest of it went. I don't know if anyone remembers. Okay. Anyway, you can Google that, find it on your own. And people came back with a rebuttal to that, and they paid for some billboards that said, "Dawkins probably doesn't exist." So, anyway. Okay. Eternity of God. God has put it in their heart. And folks, we know from the time we're born, we know we're going to live forever. That is a really important truth when you are evangelizing. You can use that to your advantage because people do know they're going to live forever, even though they admit that they try not to think about it. And you just have to be honest with them and say, "You know, I don't necessarily like to think about death either. But it's going to happen. I don't like to think about paying taxes. If I just choose not to pay taxes, I'm going to get in trouble for that. It's going to catch up to me." Okay? Just because you don't like something doesn't mean you can ignore it, folks. So you can use that to your advantage in talking to people. Just talk to them with this idea in mind that they do know they're going to go somewhere after this life. And that should give you a little bit more boldness in evangelizing, to know that they're thinking that, even though they don't want to think it. Regarding this verse, Mr. Tozer says, I think he here sets forth both, listen to this, this is an interesting statement, both the glory and the misery of men. To be made for eternity and forced to dwell in time is for mankind the tragedy of huge proportions. All within us cries for life and permanence, and everything around us reminds us of mortality and change. What a great statement, right? How insightful. By the way, to be made for eternity, you know, how miserable if this was all there was. And Christians, to us as Christians, I would urge us to remember that this is not our home. Let's not get too attached to it. This world is not our home. There's nothing this world offers that's going to last. There's nothing, I like to put it this way, to anybody who's not a believer, if you're struggling, if you are just playing a game, putting on a good show, there's nothing this world offers that will make hell worthwhile. Don't play with the world. Don't play with thinking that you can have fun and then get saved in your own time, or this world is too much fun, I don't care about God. That is a dangerous, and can I say it in a kind way, that's a foolish mentality to have. Nothing this world offers is going to make hell worthwhile. Nobody in hell is going to be saying to himself, oh, but it was worth it. Nobody. Oh. Right. Yeah. People who, like my uncles or aunts, they told my parents as they were trying to share the gospel, they said, well, when I die, I'm going to hell and I'm going to party with my friends. There's no partying in hell, folks. How sad that even on that, people are deceived and buying into the lie of the devil. Why would eternity in our hearts be misery? How can he, you know, think of it from that standpoint. How can eternity in our hearts be a miserable thing? Okay. You know you're not going to get anything better. I think there's a reality that, I'm going to put up another quote from a different man in a moment, that, you know, God creates us like this in order to make us realize that there must be something better, right? When what we see around us is falling apart, failing, is perversion and crime, it makes us long for something better. There's a healthy aspect of being unsatisfied on the bigger scale, being unsatisfied with this earthly life. Now, we're called to be content. I understand that. Be content where God has you. I understand that. But as a whole, I hope every Christian has a healthy dissatisfaction with this world. Right? If we're just fitting in and having a great time and we think this is great, probably there's a problem. Listen to this statement. C.S. Lewis said, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. I love that. I love that way of thinking. You know, there's a longing in the human heart. God has put it there on purpose. There's a longing. And nothing this world offers fills that longing. And so, logically, what he's saying is, even just on a logical basis, we should conclude we must have been made for a different world then. Right? And it's true. Okay, Matthew, let's see, that one's coming up a little bit later. Just wrap up here with some application. God's timing is not our timing. Oh, I'm just going to put this verse up, and these will go away into eternal punishment, just so people understand. There are some people who argue out there that hell is not eternal, that hell, just for a little while, they believe in this idea called annihilationism, which means that, yeah, you go to hell, but after a while, your soul is totally consumed and you're gone, you disappear, you're eradicated. That is never taught in Scripture. The same word that's used to describe punishment is the same word used to describe eternal life. The exact same word and the exact same verse and the exact same sentence from the Lord's mouth. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. If one is eternal, so is the other.
Very clear teaching in Scripture. Some applications. God's timing. God's timing is not our timing. Okay, God sees the whole picture, and we need to remember that. Abraham, I'm going to put up, I think I have three examples here. Abraham, he was called at what age? What age did God call him out of the Ur of the Chaldees? 75. That's when he was called. And he was promised a son, and his wife was 65. How long did he wait for Isaac to be born? 25 years. That's a long time to wait. When he's already old. When his wife is already past childbearing. Folks, that's an impossibly long time to wait. God's timing is not our timing, is it? God can do that. And we have to trust God, depend on Him, wait on Him. All right, Joseph. God revealed to him special promises of blessing. And at first, though, before those promises came true, what happened? Just really quickly, synopsis. Sold into slavery. What else? Framed. Imprisoned. Okay, first, taken to a foreign country, falsely accused, held in prison until he was about 30 years old. That's crazy! But God's timing is not our timing. God worked it all out. He had a perfect plan. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Isaiah 46, verses we looked at earlier. Okay, Moses, last one. He was raised in Pharaoh's house, well educated and privileged. But then he was rejected by his own people at age 40. Then he spent the next 40 years as a shepherd. 40 years in the wilderness. Then, at age 80, he was called to lead the nation, and he did for 40 more years. That's just unbelievable. That's God's timing, folks. God's timing is not our timing. We get really uptight and anxious, jittery, right? God, why aren't you doing something? It's been, 2 days. I've been praying for this. God, when are you going to answer? I got it all worked out. If you would just do this and this and this. God's timing is not our timing, and God has His own. God's ways are not our ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, right? Declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Think of delays from God's perspective. Are there really ever any delays in God's view? Yes or no? Not really, no. There aren't, right? It's just part of His plan. It's just His timing. God's plan spans eternity. He isn't limited to a human lifetime. And His plans can actually span several lifetimes or generations or centuries or millennia. We just, again, can't fathom that because we're like, we're watching the time. God's not doing that. And we have to just trust Him. Just trust His timing. Oh, I already shared these verses with you. Put these up to close here, Isaiah 46 again. So we need to stop worrying when things don't happen when we think they should. God is still in control. We need to not worry when things aren't going the way, the country isn't going the way we think it should. God is the one in control, and He has a plan, and His timing is perfect. And from God's perspective, it's all past, present, future. He sees it all, and it's all working out. Any just closing comment or thought you had, testimony, very quickly? God's timing. Okay, let's pray. Good Lord, we just bow before You, and as we go through these studies, it ought to help us to praise You, to be in awe of what a great God You are. Help us trust You as we study this concept of eternality compared to ourselves stuck in time. We pray You'd help us remember that You have a plan, that You're working it out according to Your perfect timing, not ours. So help us trust You. Help us to be faithful while we're here these years, Lord. Help us endure and remember that we're only here for a short time and we can persevere. We pray for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen.